The two big differences is that women don't produce any more hormones once they go in the menopause. So your hormones actually stop being produced, where technically a man's hormones, he's supposed to keep producing testosterone forever. He doesn't technically go into menopause. So for him, the testosterone that you use exogenously, a transdermal cream, we don't do injectables, we do transdermal, because we want to be very protective of the testosterone receptors in the man.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about cycling static HRT versus rhythmic dosing. They're not the same thing. I'm Dr. Valerie Davidson from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Robert Mackey from Progress Your Health. So this one actually was kind of a couple of questions or comments that we're going to kind of mash into one.
Yes. So I'm going to, we got a couple of comments on our social media platforms, and I thought it was really interesting. So I'm going to read the comments and then we're going to kind of hash it out a little bit, because we talk about rhythmic dosing a lot. And I just wanted to kind of clear up that rhythmic dosing is not cycling your static HRT. So I'll read the comments. This one was, I started BHRT and I want to do rhythmic dosing. My practitioner's idea of rhythmic dosing is biased, same dose every day from day 1 to day 25. And starting on day 14 is the same dose of progesterone from day 14 to day 28. So that means I take 3 days off from my bias, that 25 to 28. That was one of the comments. And then the second comment was, hi, Dr. Valerie. I also do rhythmic dosing, using estrogen on my arm the whole month, 0.75 milligrams, and then add in 100 milligrams of progesterone on day 14. Is this right? I'm postmenopausal. So it's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to sort of clarify that, because we do not advocate anyone trying to do cycling or rhythmic dosing on their own, right? Because if you don't do rhythmic dosing right, you can actually end up hurting yourself, in the long term, because you're messing around with these hormone levels. If you don't know exactly what you're doing, these are actual hormones that can have, not a great response if it's not done properly.
So you're right. There is a risk factor there. And I can understand when women are at their wit's end or they want to do something different because they're not getting the results from the HRT they're currently doing. I can completely understand. But you're right. When you're doing rhythmic dosing, especially these levels of physiological dosing, you need to have a practitioner work with you just to keep you safe.
So that knows exactly how to do it.
So that's one side of it, because you think about the rhythmic dosing is based off the female ovarian cycle. So day 12 of estrogen is a whole lot different than day 19, 20, 21. Like every day is a little bit different when you're doing the rhythmic dosing. Now, same with progesterone. Progesterone on day 14 is a whole lot different than day 21, which is a whole lot different than day 28. But there is this idea out there that you can cycle your hormones. Now, there's so many different ways to do HRT. Mm-hmm. Rhythmic dosing isn't for everyone. Static dosing isn't for everyone. You need to morph it to that person. So off my soapbox now. But there is this concept that I'll just take my static dosing of my biest or my estradiol every day, and then I'll just add in progesterone, one dose of progesterone, the same dose, 100 milligrams from day 14 mm-hmm. to day 28. Or I'll take some days off. In fact, I just wrote an article about a question that came in. I called her Katie. I changed her name. And she said, I feel horrible pretty much 50% of the time because I'm only allowed to take progesterone from day 14 to day 28. And from day 1 to day 14, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's 50% of your life. So they're thinking that cycling, but it's not what nature does.
No.
Right.
Hormones, we've talked about this before. So I'm sorry, my arm was in your face.
I know my arm was in your face too.
I apologize if I'm, this three-way camera thing. I talk with my hands and it ends up, showing right up in front of your face. And I don't realize it, but I can see the monitor over there. And I'm like, oops, I'm reaching. Now I got alligator hands now. This idea has come up a lot. And I think it's time for us to clarify that. Hormones, see how I'm trying to do the, alligator arm so it doesn't reach out in there. Hormones, pretty much every hormone in the body has sort of a diurnal curve to it, or it has a, maybe not a diurnal,
just a rhythm.
An ebb and, yeah, a rhythm. It has an ebb and flow, a high and a low, a high and a low, a high and a low. Hormones are never static. You know, nothing is. So if your hormones are in a flat line and then you just stop and start them, that is not what we do as rhythmic dosing. It's not even close to the same thing. Even if you are, you know, like you said, progesterone, estrogen from this day to this day, and then progesterone from this day to this day, if the dose stays the same, you're still doing static dosing. Mm-hmm. You're just stopping and starting your static dosing. You're not actually doing what rhythmic dosing is intended to do. Rhythmic dosing is really on the receptor level between estrogen, progesterone, and all the other cells in the body. It's not about when you're actually taking, it's the dosing. And when you're doing it, that is mimicking what the body naturally does. You can't just sort of recreate that in a static fashion, because now maybe a woman could feel okay doing that, but maybe not, you know, right? And just, what is your thought? The one thing you just said there, estrogen bias from days 1 to 25, and then progesterone from 14 to 28. What's your thought about that idea?
I just think, you know, the body wasn't made to have hormones go up and then go away quite, you know, quickly, and then go up, and then go away. It just doesn't work that way. They're more of these gentle, like, you know, highs and lows of estrogen. It really is, you know,
a rhythm.
It's like a rhythm. It's like a melody. It really truly is following this ovarian cycle. And when you think about an ovarian cycle, so in the rhythmic dosing, so I'm 52 and I'm on the rhythmic dosing, is I'm not going to be able to get pregnant, but it's you're following that. So in a menstruating female, you know, they're going to have an estradiol spike, or, you know, comes up high on day 12 to promote this ovulation. And then the corpus luteum is made on that ovary, and that starts to produce progesterone, and then produces more and more and more. And then the progesterone peaks out on day 21. And if there's no fertilization, the hormones start to gently decline, and then they have a period, but the estrogen never goes to zero.
No.
So even taking the bias from 1 to 25, and from 25 to day 28, there's no estrogen. It doesn't go like from hormones, you know, see, my hand is in your camera. I'm sorry. So it doesn't go from having estrogen to nothing. And then, so it's that, you know, I do feel like that would almost be like a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But with the rhythmic dosing, especially a female that has a uterus, like I have a uterus, it's meant to do that, to create these physiological levels of estradiol and progesterone. But if you have a uterus, you have to make sure you have a period, because that's protecting you from, you know, from the risk factor of uterine cancer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why doing static cycling of hormones could increase that risk, at least in theory.
Not having a period, that, you know, that first. So this example here for this lovely person that wrote me a message saying, hey, I take, you know, the bias from day 1 to 25, but I only take progesterone from 14 to 28. So from 1 to 14, it's just estrogen only in her system.
Yeah.
Does she have a uterus? And if she's not getting a period, then, you know, what's going on with the uterine lining?
Right, yeah. I mean, you and I would never, now you and I have, quote unquote, cycled progesterone over the years.
Usually, right? That's with perimenopause.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. A woman, but she's not taking any estrogen.
But not every perimenopausal woman, I do that. I've done that with some.
Some.
With others, they like to take their progesterone all month because they just really love it.
Yeah, sure. Well, what I mean is, let's say they take it all month long, but they take a lower dose the first 14 days, the first 12 to 13 days, and they take a higher dose from day 13 or 14 back to their period, but they're not taking any estrogen, right? You and I have done that many, many times over the years.
Because they have plenty of estrogen, because their ovaries are still producing the estrogen.
Yeah, so. And you're just trying to have an impact on their PMS symptoms, or they're trying to control some bleeding. A woman technically does not make progesterone the first 14 days until ovulation starts. So in theory, by giving women progesterone in that little bit in that first 2 weeks is sort of going against the grain a little bit. But like you said, women just feel better that way.
And it's safe, and you do the blood test, mm-hmm. you check in with the patient, it's safe for them, it's good. Where with the rhythmic dosing, that's where it's not that simple, which is why you need a practitioner. When I do rhythmic dosing, and I know you too, with patients, is you can't just like, here, go do this protocol, I'll see you in a year or something.
No.
You need to kind of work with them. Like I have some patients that haven't gotten a period once they started the rhythmic dosing. And so I need to morph that. And that's because they might be having already a really thin uterine lining. They're still cycling, but there's not enough uterine lining being accumulated to create a period. I need to make sure that's the case. And then we work our way up and raise the doses up. Because I will say the rhythmic dosing does need to be monitored.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why anyone trying to do it on their own or just trying to copy something, we don't advise anyone to do that. You need to have a practitioner. Now, the hard part is finding a practitioner that knows how to do rhythmic dosing. You know, it is a, it's a very, unfortunately, underground sort of protocol. Like, not a lot of people are aware of it. Certainly the mainstream does not understand any of that. And even in the functional medicine space, it's hard to find a practitioner that has done it before. Now, granted, it's not necessarily rocket science, but the practitioner needs to know on how to adapt it to the woman, right? Based on the feedback that they get, like you said, a woman doesn't have a period for a little while. Okay, how are you going to adjust that? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say she's having too many periods or too much bleeding, which does happen on rhythmic dosing, or she's having some kind of negative consequence or negative side effect. There's even been situations where we run into where it's like sometimes you don't know exactly what to do, right? Because there's some feedback. It's like, oh, we got to adjust something or make some kind of change. And then sometimes you need to do that a couple of times to get the adjustment that you want. But if you don't have experience on how to adjust, that's where you could, rhythmic dosing could really go afoul really quickly if you don't know what you're doing or if you're trying to do it on your own.
Yeah, no. I always tell people if they're going to do, because, we get a lot of questions from people from all over the world. If you're going to do rhythmic dosing, you better get pretty chummy with your practitioner, because you're going to have to do lots of different check-ins so that you can make sure that you're doing it right. Because even with my patients, sometimes when I explain to them, they might say, oh, wait, when is day one? I see my day one to 28. But for example, last month, I got my period a little early. I think it was like on day 24. That becomes my day one. I don't keep taking the same hormone until day 28 because I got a period. Even, in menstruating women, when you get your period, that's day one. So even trying to get all that information, because it is, it's not as easy as just, oh, put on your estradiol cream or your estradiol patch and just take some progesterone every night.
Yeah. Now, I had one the other day, too, that was she had been on rhythmic dosing for a little while, and she was using her estrogen, she was going all the way to day 28 and then starting over, right? But her period was coming on like day 25. She had already been on it for a while. Now, the proximity of when her period actually started versus day 28 was only a few days. So it didn't really make that much of a difference. But even still, not communicating to her after she'd already been on it for a few months, that once your period comes, that's your day one. You do not go back to day 28. Now, in her case, it really didn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. So you could probably make that little bit of, if it's only a couple of days, it's not going to change hormone levels, because the end of the cycle, days 24 to 28, and the first few days of the beginning of a new cycle is relative to the same dosage.
But that means it pushes back her progesterone. Yeah. I've had women that get a lot of breast tenderness, and I'm like, oh, we got to readjust the dose. And like, even for example, we were laughing, in hindsight laughing, because I, I tinker because I like to try everything, because I just tinker, I change the doses because I can experiment with myself to be able to work with the patients. Is I had a lot of PMS this last week.
Well, like, you didn't realize it until, it sort of dawned on you, like, mm-hmm. You're like, I don't feel very good.
Like, I don't feel like myself. And I had a lot of breast tenderness, and my period honestly didn't come. It came right perfectly on time. I think I want to say it was like day 28. And that exact day that I got my period, I woke up the next morning and I said, I feel so much better. I even told you, I feel so much better. Even the breast pain had gone down. And that's because I wasn't following the rhythmic dosing exactly. I kind of morphed it a little bit on that day 12, 13, 14, 15, and then kind of changed up. Because I like,
I think you tinker too much.
Yeah. But it was noticeable
too quickly. Mm-hmm. I think you should make a change and then wait 2 or 3 months, or 2 or 3 cycles to see what happens, as opposed to change, because now you don't really know.
I know.
And plus the receptors, like we said, the rhythmic dosing, even for men, right? So you're day one, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to day one, then my hormones go to day one, because we do. Women rhythmic dosing, we do men rhythmic dosing, and we do couples rhythmic dosing. So the men's schedule follows the woman's
schedule. Testosterone.
Yeah, the testosterone. Yeah.
He's not taking any estrogen or progesterone.
Yeah. So my, and this is where the woman sort of starts first, right? So she's established. I mean, obviously a couples can start at the same time, but her day one is his day one. So whatever day she gets her period, then his schedule starts over, because you want to sync up the, you know, the ovulatory window. Now, granted, women are not ovulating on rhythmic dosing, but the hormones are, as you say, they're mimicking like they are. So you would want her peak of those hormones to match his peak of those hormones. It just makes good physiologic sense to be able to do it that
way. So those of you new listeners, yeah, we're married.
Well, your name is Dr. Davidson and I'm Dr. Mackey. People might not realize there's been a couple of comments like you're really, hard on her. Like, I don't think they realize that we're, we're actually a married couple.
See us off camera. I'm hard on you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not hard on you. Things get taken out of context or something, or I might've, said something, but, that's why. So for men, the rhythmic dosing is even more important, because for men and testosterone, the two big differences is that women don't produce any more hormones once they go into menopause. Right. So your hormones actually stop being produced, where technically a man's hormones, he's supposed to keep producing testosterone forever. He doesn't technically go into menopause. So for him, the testosterone that you use exogenously, a transdermal cream, we don't do injectables, we do transdermal, because we want to be very protective of that, of the testosterone receptors in the man.
Yeah, for the rhythmic dosing.
For the rhythmic dosing, as opposed to getting jammed with a needle, which is fine. But when you overflow or flood the body with too much hormone, now the receptors start to downregulate, and then now you're starting to have a problem. Lab tests always come back low. Women, it's not quite the same thing, because you're not producing any of your own. But you still, the peak of the estrogen on day 12, the peak of the progesterone on day 21, is still communicating receptor information there, that just taking your hormones at a flat level, for these certain days, it's not sending the same message.
Yeah, and then just stopping them, like taking them to stopping them, I think it's just too much of an abrupt change, as opposed to the rhythmic dosing is supposed to have this ebb and flow of hormones.
Yeah.
But as you even me, I'm the practitioner, I've been doing hormones for, I've been taking my own hormones just for, as HRT, I've been doing the rhythmic dosing for about a little over a year, but I've been, doing hormone replacement with women for over 20 years. And this last week I was like, I don't feel good. I'm kind of weepy and sad.
Really irritable.
Was I irritable? I felt more like, kind of like that, that women that you notice when you start to go through menopause, where they'll almost like that apathy, or that, I just don't feel the joy and things that I want to have joy in, and I'm kind of sad and anxious and kind of nervous. It was just a weird feeling, and that's because I was messing with the estrogen, the progesterone. But as soon as I got that period, it was remarkable. Like, I just woke up in the morning, like, I even told you, I feel better. I feel good. And now I think I'm on, what am I on, day three? I feel good. So I'm going to keep consistent and not tinker on this cycle. But I've had women too, that I have with the rhythmic dosing, and I like to keep that close relationship, where they might say, hey, I feel really good on day one to day 14, but when I start my progesterone, I don't feel as good.
And typically with rhythmic dosing, it's when, because a woman's body, and granted, this is a man talking to women, so just ignore everything that I say, because it doesn't really count. But I've been doing this a long time, just like you have. So I have learned a few things that women, when a woman start rhythmic dosing, when they go from day one to day 12, or let's just say, like in your case, you don't feel very good. Well, which part of the month don't you feel good? So you always gauge things by day 12 and day 21. And most of the time, just statistically, as that estrogen level is rising up to day 12, that is the upswing where women usually feel the best.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah. On that estradiol, it's amazing. So it's just finding that right balance between the progesterone and the estrogen. That's what you're looking at. So that's why I was kind of messing around a little bit. I just want to see what other people feel. And it was weird. I didn't notice it.
Well, and I didn't notice it either until you said, oh, I got my period and I feel better. Like, oh, you had, and the term we came up with was a menopausal PMS.
I had menopausal PMS.
Like, that's not a real thing. Like, that doesn't even exist. How can you have PMS when you're in menopause?
I did.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's like a new concept, menopausal PMS. Like, that's not really supposed to happen, because once your period stops, there's no more PMS. But you literally had a week, because it was a good solid week, wasn't it?
It was a good week. And I would say maybe it was more like maybe 8 days. Yeah. I was noticing the breast tenderness, and I thought, oh, the hormones are a little off, but I didn't think it would happen with the mood, but it did. Now, that's not supposed to happen on the rhythmic dosing. I was messing around. That's just me. That's not supposed to happen on the rhythmic dosing. But when you're working with someone, you're doing the blood work, but you're also trying to find the right dosage that's going to fit for them. So, and there's so many different ways to do it, is that's kind of what I was sort of changing it up a little bit, because I did have a patient not that long ago that was saying, I don't sleep that great, but I'm more sleepy and tired when I'm on the progesterone. I take less of my sleep supplements, seem to work better. Mm-hmm. And which I noticed too, I'm not as like, let's go get it done. I'm excited for life. I wake up in the morning and I want to go, I can't wait for the day to start. Where, sometimes, so it really was that discrepancy between the progesterone and the estrogen dosing. Now she's good.
So what I was saying earlier, so you women feel usually pretty good on day 12. Once they start the progesterone, is usually, statistically, is when they start to not feel so good.
So then why would people do rhythmic dosing if they're not going to feel good on the progesterone?
Well, they just have to acclimate to it, just because as their body is...
Or change the dosage.
Yeah, that's why...
So we're not saying rhythmic dosing, you feel good 50% of the time.
No. It is really more of an adjustment period. So, you go from menopause, your body's producing no hormones at all, and now you're going back to, a 30-year-old level hormones. Your body has to have a chance to adjust there. But then eventually you start to get into a rhythm, no pun intended, and your body can handle it, and then it's fine. Yeah. But the feedback, like you said, in hindsight, you had menopausal PMS. Neither one of us knew it or recognized it until your period came. And the fact that you felt immediately better the day your period, we both recognized, you did, menopausal, I had a week of PMS, that's why I didn't feel very good. So now that means then we go back to what your dosing is and then figure out where it needs to be adjusted. That's subjective, because we want every patient to feel good. But specifically with the rhythmic dosing, the feedback that they give us on how they feel at these very specific points of the month give us information on how we adjust it for them. So it literally becomes tailored directly to that person. That's why I find it so fascinating, because you are literally, now granted, you cannot do that on a mass scale. That's really difficult to do, because it is so attuned to the actual woman itself. Mm-hmm. Right. But I find it to be so fascinating from a physiologic biology perspective, but then also how that translates into, I think we kind of don't even realize how much our hormones affect our behavior, our mm-hmm. thinking, our mood, our joy, our sadness. All of those things are dictated by our hormones. Not only our sex hormones, right, but also our metabolic hormones have a huge impact on how we look and feel on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. I had a patient the other day, and she brought her husband into the appointment because she wanted him to understand what she was going through, because she's more of an in-betweener, just coming out of perimenopause, not really in menopause, because she did have a period this past mm-hmm. September, had no periods for like 4 months, and then had two periods in September.
Yeah.
And so she's not quite in menopause, but she's not in perimenopause because her FSH is high, her estrogen is low, it's just bouncing around. She's in that in between.
She probably feels terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She feels absolutely terrible, which is why she wanted to bring her husband in, because he didn't understand, why she was so sad and feeling depressed. And she said, I don't want to quit my job. I don't want to work anymore. And it's her own business. She loves her business.
Yeah.
So it was really neat to have him in the appointment with us so he could understand. And he was super nice and understanding. And I think he just wanted to be there to support her. But I don't, as a man, he didn't really understand.
Yeah,
but
right.
He did after the appointment and all that.
Just vicariously realizing that, hey, there's a hormonal reason going on here. for a woman, that is almost inevitable. Like this transition is going to happen whether you want it to happen or not, and you cannot control it. And I don't, myself included, men are just stupid idiots. We don't understand any of those things. But then men also try to try to use that as an excuse. Well, it's your hormones, it's your hormones. But usually, they did something to make you mad or, to tick you off or something, or you're irritated because we're stupid idiots and we just do dumb things all the time.
Not everything is hormones.
Yeah.
That is very true.
You can't have it both ways. Yeah. You can't blame it on them and use it as an excuse. It doesn't really quite work that way. But, that's why hormones, we've seen this over the years on how a major impact hormones can have on a woman's quality of life. Even on a man's quality of life, for that matter, and which is why like to do rhythmic dosing, because we've seen the results of that and how it translates into a really good quality of life.
No, I agree. So needless to say, I love these comments and I so appreciate them, and I want to support these women that are listening to us and and wanting to understand this and learning is, but yeah, don't the rhythmic dosing. It is so much more, it is safer for you and so much of a better experience when you're working with your practitioner on it, not doing it yourself alone.
No. Yeah. And we don't advocate that. This is not meant to be medical advice, but when it comes to that issue, find someone that knows what they're doing. There are some out there. There are some resources to be able to find them. I think it's going to be a trend over the next little bit. And because women are, women want, they want solutions to how they look and feel. They have lots of things to do. They're very busy, at least the ones that we talk to, and they don't have time to not feel as good as they want to feel. Right now, maybe that gets kind of pushed off conventionally because they don't actually have a disease. And I think that's just in the 21st century, I think that's a little ridiculous. I think that, it is usually the lack of training or understanding on the practitioner side. That is why women don't get the help that they deserve. Because this stuff is, we're not doing brain surgery here, okay? Now, it does take some understanding and some knowledge, and experience on the practitioner's side, but we're not doing brain surgery. I think that's where, the training on the practitioner side needs to happen collectively, but that's why we don't, that's why we just talk to the public, because they're the ones that are out there looking for answers, because they don't, which I give women a lot of credit in that respect, like they don't, men just sort of like, okay, whatever, they just don't get that involved. They don't go seeking out answers unless it's something, something urgent, I guess. But where women, they're a little bit more tenacious about that. And if they don't feel a certain way and they still feel terrible, they'll just keep looking and looking and looking. And I think they drive a lot of innovation that way because they force practitioners to be able to adapt. I mean, you and I, our whole career has been adapting to the needs and the wants of the patient, over the years.
I've learned everything from the patients.
Yeah,
like that's what you do is you learn it all from the patients. That's why they call it practice.
Yeah, sure, yeah. As opposed to I've learned a knowledge base and it never evolves and changes. I learned this in medical school and this is what my training is. So the patient has to adapt to what I know. Okay, it should adapt to what the patient actually problems are. And I don't think medicine's done a really good job of that, just in general. Okay, and I'll get off my soapbox now. So anything more about cycling versus rhythmic dosing?
Just, I think we said it all, right? Cycling, your static dosing, HRT, is not rhythmic dosing.
Yes.
It really isn't.
It's not. Yeah, yeah. Don't try to reinvent the wheel because I see some of those people saying some of those things, I cringe a little bit because we don't want to lead people down the wrong path.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't help them.
We don't want to, make people think that you can just sort of do it on your own and you're doing rhythmic dosing. Rhythmic dosing is a very specific protocol and there are some kind of rules that need to be followed. So if we are unclear about that in the past, we apologize. But, now this is like a public service announcement. Don't try to do it on your own. Find someone that knows what they're doing and that can support you in that. So any final comments?
Nope. This was great.
All right. Till next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Valerie.
See you later. Bye-bye.